Welcome back. We go now to spend some time with clearly one of the most remarkable people of our times and a longtime friend of mine and yours and this planet. He is, of course, David Icke, up very early over there, and I hope you're doing well. Are you?
Hello, Jeff. Yeah, 10 past 4 in the morning. I'm always doing well at 10 past 4 in the morning.
Yeah, you're a trooper. I guess that's the best way to state it. All right, now, there is so much going on, and when we first met a long time ago, what a different planet it was. I don't know if you felt it would all happen as fast, but I've gone down this road before with a few other guests, but the pace with which they have pulled the trigger on humanity is extraordinary. To me, it's blinding, and I think that's part of the game. They got to a point. Either they felt that they were running out of time and had to rush it, or they said, with their supercomputer models and all the rest of it, and the occult things that they use, we've got total control, what the hell, let's just let it rip. In either case, the average man and woman who is still sentient, or pretends to be so, is clearly confused and clearly so anxiety-ridden, most of them want to get the heck out. They don't want anything to do with anything anymore. They just want to survive. I mean, we're getting down to that kind of a mindset in many cases.
Yeah, it's a massive story, and it's a massive question. And you know, as the years have passed for me, to understand this reality has meant to get deeper and deeper and deeper into what this reality is, and we get. Obviously focused on what I call the play-out world, the holographic world. That's the world we perceive as the physical world that we experience and interact with all the time. But that's like the movie on the screen. By the time it hits the holographic play-out world and we're experiencing it, it's a done deal. And this universe, this reality, its base form is waveform. It's not, quote, physical. It's waveform. And if you look at a hologram has on the photographic print just like wavy lines, just like fingerprints. It's waveform. And then you fire the laser at the waveform, and suddenly manifesting out of that comes this three-dimensional holographic form, which the best of them can look as solid as you and me look. And you know, when people say in science they can't understand why something can take a waveform and a particle form at the same time, well, it's because it's a hologram. You know, when you fire the laser at the holographic information, the holographic print in a holographic photograph, that waveform doesn't cease to exist when the holographic form manifests. The two exist at the same time. And the holographic form is there and manifests because of the information encoded in the waveform. So that the depth that we're talking about in relation to this question, they understand this. And what they do is encode the information for their agenda, for their control system, into the waveform fabric, which is then becomes manifest in the play-out world. And it's literally like encoding information on a computer disk, and then the computer manifests that information on the screen. And it manifests it in an incredibly coordinated way, and it's all happening right, as it should in relation to but it's happening like that on the computer screen because it's encoded in the software disk to be like that, and that's how it's being done, and that's why it can play out in our experiential world, the physical world, as you quite rightly say, so fast, so coordinated, so many different subjects and so many different areas all dovetailing together and coming in at the same time. This is how it
Oh, it's absolutely overwhelming.
This is how they do it. The idea that people sit around a table discussing their next move, and that's how it's done, that doesn't happen like that. It does happen uh-huh. in the sense that people do sit round tables, but that's still the play-out level of it. It's all part of what's actually encoded in the vibrational waveform fabric. That's how they're doing it.
There is an article. There have been a few good articles about the impact of the Internet on human consciousness and the collective consciousness and even the unconscious mind of people around the world who are connected to the net. Here's one that's up now, and it just talks about Twitter and Facebook. Now, I don't have anything to do with these things. It says, are Twitter and Facebook affecting how we think? And the answer is, not only affecting, in many ways, it is molding how people think on that level where they think. And then there was another article recently. It was actually quite good. It was in The Atlantic, and a very accomplished writer was questioning why he can no longer stay focused, why his attention span is very short. He said, and I'm going to paraphrase this, when I was young, I was a voracious reader. I used to love to sit and spend a week with a book, or longer if it was a huge book. He says, I find myself now still loving to read, but after three or four pages, I'm kind of asking the book to hurry up. And he said it has to do with what you've been talking about for many years, what I've been talking about, and that is the pace, the audio and video, the five senses, as it were, the amphetamine diet that people have been hooked up to. They've got to have pace. That's why children can't sit still. And then they're medicated into zombieism, of course, by the medical and pharmaceutical establishments. But he raised the issue. He said, I used to go to the library. And you all remember the card catalogs. I'm sure most of you do. Those were computers, in a way. He says, I don't go to the library anymore. I simply hit a search engine, and I can get 10,000 results back in seconds or less on any topic I want.
I think the Internet is definitely a two-edged sword, and in many, many ways it's become another collective mind. There's no question about that. And, you know, the more that I travel this journey, the deeper I go into this whole thing of what is reality, you can see that the whole thing, I mean, I've been saying for years it's a mind game, but you start to realize just how profound a mind game it is. If you want to control a whole vast population, then you have to, A, control the information they receive, but you've also need to control how they read that information. You know, if I want to put something on the screen of this computer, in other words, I want it to become the computer's reality, then I have to first of all give the computer the information that I want it to manifest as its reality, but I also have to manipulate it so that it will read that information in the way that I want it to read, want it read. And the body computer, as I call it, is constantly reading information in the waveform fabric of this reality.
Mm-hmm.
And what it reads and what it doesn't read, what it leaves out, what it senses, decides what manifests as our experience reality. In my new book, Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, I go into this in considerable depth. You know, where we've been reading over the years about all these ancient accounts of genetic manipulation by non-human entities, etc. I'm saying in the book is that manipulation fundamentally
mm-hmm.
was about encoding the human body computer in a way that it reads certain information and doesn't read other information. And I think this relates to all this stuff about junk DNA, all this vast 90-odd% of DNA that scientists don't know what it does, the fact that we only use a fraction of our brain's capacity. We have been manipulated genetically, I would say, to read certain information and not other information. I think mm-hmm. if you go further and further back in human history, beyond the point where this manipulation happened, that we were reading far greater amounts of information, therefore perceiving far greater amounts of this reality, this universe, than we do now. I think it's to put it in simple terms, it's the equivalent of what happens in China, where the computer system is encoded so that, or firewalled, so that it only reads a much smaller part of the internet, the collective reality, mm-hmm. than the rest of the world. Something like that has happened, and I think we are in the process of, although it may not seem like it in the depths of what's happening, we are in the process of awakening to more and more of what we've been firewalled off from.
Wow.
And I think more and more people are beginning to experience that, and in doing so, you start to see things you couldn't see before.
Right. Stand by, David, if you would. Hold on, we have to pause for just a minute. We'll come back. What you said about the internet actually becoming a collective mind and all of its participants, neurons and so forth, is very interesting. Be right back. Okay, and we're back. David Icke, live from England, where it's up. You sound great at 4:20 in the morning. I'm amazed.
It's the gin, Jeff.
The gin, well, whatever it takes. It's that, see, you still have one toe in that five-sensory world of ours. Okay. Now, the idea that the internet is a collective consciousness, it's a mind, it's a supermind, as it were, and I'm not saying it's because porn is the most requested of all internet sites, so we can't say it's a supermind of great integrity, but it is what it is. And the Chinese are trying to keep their populace from becoming neurons or brain cells, in a part of this supermind that they don't particularly endorse. They have their own agenda, their own idea. But they're up against an incredibly powerful issue. We used to think that the television set was the most powerful weapon. I still do. But I am now leaning toward the internet as more and more people come online as being overwhelming. TV is an absolutely indomitable conditioner and programmer of the human species, no question, always will be. But the internet has potential that few people have even begun to plumb the depths of. And for example, Google, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, their wives, at least one of their wives, is an advanced genetic scientist working on ways to type DNA and all kinds of things that would probably be best left in the box. But they're going after them. And what David said is extremely prescient and very important.
Well, again, we come back to this whole thing about reality and consciousness and mind. Getting out of the focus totally on the physical and the five senses. You know, if you could get a circle of people, you could put something, I don't know, a pebble in the middle of them and get them all to focus on that pebble. And in all focusing on the same thing, they are tuning in to that same, which is actually energy. It might look like a pebble, but it's actually vibrating energy. They're focusing in on that frequency. That alone, that simple thing, starts to connect them. It starts to connect them in a kind of collective mind in that circle. And what you've got with the internet is this information highway, as they call it, is information conduit, construct, and people focusing on that, of course, that they do, and going online, logging in. What we've reached in technological terms is the point where the technology is mirroring the very reality that we're experiencing. The internet is so much like the way this universe works. For instance, if you're in a room or a building that has the wireless internet, you look around you, and where is it? I can't see the wireless internet. I can't see anything. But if I get a computer and I tune it into the wireless internet, suddenly, out of the unseen, out of the ether, comes this collective reality on my computer screen, which can be picked up in China or America or Europe or South Africa or anywhere. Where does it come from? It's because the wireless internet is what? It's information encoded in the unseen. That's what this universe is, and that's what they are intervening in to encode information that is manifesting as this control system that's unfolding in such a coordinated way. And in the same way that we log on to the internet through the computer, so you can log on to the internet on another level, on a vibrational level, by your own interaction, your own connection between your consciousness, if you like, your vibrational level and the vibrational level of the internet. See and experience that connection, if you like, in the five sense playout world as a computer doing it for us. But on a vibrational level, because everything's vibration energy, we can log on to the internet on a vibrational waveform level without the computer, without knowing. That's the point, without knowing. And that's how we can get pulled into this collective mind, this sub-mind that we call the internet. They are, as you mentioned with the Google lady, they are looking into these very, very deep levels and understanding how you can manipulate collective and individual perception by connecting it to these information constructs that we then read and get affected by in terms of our perceptions, in terms of our thoughts, and we think they're coming from us. But are they? Where are they originating from?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're being affected in many, many different ways on this deep, deep level because, you know, I spent, as you know, Jeff, we've known each other for a long time. I spent a long time investigating and writing about the way this control system plays out in the five sense world, in banking scams and engineered wars and all these things. And yes, we need to know this, but that's still the play out level of this. And the kind of subjects we're talking about tonight, these are the levels that it's all being played out from. And this is where our reality is being manipulated from and being encoded from so that we perceive ourselves and the world in a certain way. And this is what more and more people, not enough and not quick enough from our perception, but more and more people are breaking out from. They are starting to disconnect from. And they're starting, therefore, to see themselves and the world in a completely different way.
Right.
And I do think that part of the reason that this is happening so fast, part of the reason, is that there is a panic going on. I feel that there's a... we can talk about it after the break, but you turn something on its head. It seems that the control system is in increasingly total control, but I think something else is underlying, which is actually almost the opposite of that.
All right, very good. Back with David in a minute. His book, Brand New, is just out. Human Race, Get Off Your Knees. The Lion Sleeps No More. We'll talk more about that as we continue as well. Back in just a few. David Icke's most amazing book yet, perhaps, and they're all amazing. Human Race, Get Off Your Knees. The Lion Sleeps No More. Nearly 700 pages, 355,000 words, 325 illustrations, 355,000 words. You know the average teenager has a working vocabulary of about 3,000, maybe 3,000 words, 4,000, that's it. And they don't use most of those most of the time. The way that they text on their cell phones now, they've made up a whole new language of words that aren't spelled like we recognize them. They're little shortcut words, and then they have predictive texting features and software and all that, so they don't have to know how to spell. They can get the first one or two letters right, and the word will appear. We're breeding a world of imbeciles on the one hand, and on the other hand, we have this astounding portal to undreamed of knowledge on the internet. And then somewhere in the middle, we have this collective control mechanism, which is undeniably awesome. And quite clearly being planned and groomed to be even more so.
Well, the texting language and all that stuff is very, very significant because it's George Orwell's newspeak and oldspeak. As Orwell pointed out, we not only speak with words and communicate that way, you know, on this level, we actually think with words. And the more that you can take words out of circulation that mean anything, that describe things in detail, the less you can even think in detail. If people read what Orwell wrote about old speak being replaced by new speak, this meaningless language that says nothing. Then you put things like text language together with political correctness and other things like that, and you've got exactly what he was talking about. I mean, political correctness is what? It's saying you cannot say this, you cannot use this word. I mean, you know, instead of brainstorming, we have thought showers. I mean, what are we doing? And if you reach a point eventually, you will not be able even to articulate to yourself in the realm of thought.
Did Orwell, let me ask you a question, David.
What do you think?
Yeah, David, a question on Orwell. Did he go as far as to pronounce back then or intimate what was recently, and I thought profoundly, laid out in an article, which I can't recall pulling up now, I don't know the name of it, but the idea was that the smaller the vocabulary in the mind, the less full and enriching the experience of life is. And you know exactly what that is. Now, did Orwell touch upon that or point to that? You see, these people are just, they're not just dumb, all right? When you're dumb, you don't have facts and data. They're dumb to the extent that they don't have the words in their mental archive. And when you don't have the words to define things, as David just said, you do not draw from living the fullest and most rich potential there is. And I'm just curious if Orwell talked about that.
Well, Orwell, if you didn't use those words, was actually talking exactly about that. If you cannot articulate your thought, never mind give your views in detail, then by definition, you are disconnecting yourself from massive areas of potential communication and interaction. And perception, and therefore you must live a life of incredible limitation in terms of your experience. And you know, Orwell was pointing out, for instance, was the effect that how do you basically create a revolution, if you like, demanding freedom, if the word freedom, and therefore what that means, does no longer exist. How do you articulate we must be free if the word free, in the sense of that we would accept free, perceive free, how can you create a revolution demanding freedom if the word freedom doesn't exist? You know, articulating ourselves and being able to communicate that way in detail to really get across what we're trying to say and what we're thinking is fundamental to any kind of freedom and any kind of real experience. And by looking at the way we communicate words and then diminishing those words both in number and in what they express in terms of detail, you are dumbing people down in the most fundamental way, far more than the dumbing down of education, which big time is obviously part of this. But once you get to the core of dumbing down the language, the means of communication, then you're really taking people into the realms of phenomenal limitation in terms of not just their communication, but as you rightly say, they're actually their life experience.
They're just right, and so that makes them all the more amenable or vulnerable, does it not? Of course it does, to all the diversions, petty mental diversions that they're showered with all the time, the imbecility on the television, the general imbecility of the average person's lifestyle. I don't mean to put them down, but my goodness, the potential here for achieving on this planet is so enormous, and yet most of these people they don't even know what the word proactive, they're simply reactive.
Yes, and it's the herd-like mentality, and what is a herd? It's a collective mind that acts as one. It's a collective mind that follows the one in front, and this is where you know, we come back to this manipulation of our perception and this manipulation of and creation of sub-collective minds, which we talked about in relation to the internet. It can turn people into an even more extreme version of the herd mentality. But at the same time, there are others increasing in number who are breaking out of the herd, who are going the other way. And there is very clearly a fork in the road here where people are making their choice which way they want to go. Because for me, going back to what we talked about a little while ago in terms of this control system coming in quicker and quicker, and are they panicking or is it because they've got so much control? Mm-hmm. I think part of it is the panic on one level. As I said before the break, you know, I think there's a lot of things happening that appear to be happening that if you turn them on their heads, you probably get closer to what's happening. See, if you go back to George Orwell, I've been saying for years, you know, people said, you know, what do they want to happen? I said, well, just read two books, George Orwell's 1984 and Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. You put those two together and you pretty much got the world they want to create. And the interesting thing is that Aldous Huxley wrote Brave New World, and he taught George Orwell, real name Eric Blair, at Eton College.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Hold on, David.
Yeah.
We have to pause. That's quite a connection.
I'll connect on after the break.
Very good. All right, right back with you and David Icke. All right, that's a remarkable connection that I had not heard before. Aldous Huxley teaching a professor for Orwell, Eric Blair.
Yeah, at Eton College, where the royal children go to.
Yes, sir.
Eton College near at Windsor, just outside of London. And but it goes on because Huxley was fundamentally connected to the Fabian Society, and he introduced Orwell to the Fabian Society. They became friends, and the Fabian Society is a very, very important organization. At its core, a secret society. It was the organization that created the British Labour Party made infamous by Tony Blair, who was a Fabian. The last Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, was a Fabian, and many of the ministers in that government were Fabians. And it's the Fabian Society that created the London School of Economics, which I look at in part of the new book, and not just in terms of Britain, but also America. You find that fundamental people involved in American manipulation from the Rockefellers and such like ended up at the other people that keep coming up ended up at the London School of Economics. That's a real breeding ground for the people to serve who are going to serve the cabal through their adult life, and it's controlled by the Fabian Society. And this brings me to a much deeper area of kind of understanding how can the Orwells and the Huxleys and other people, how can they write books which prove with the passage of time so unbelievably accurate in terms of their themes and often detail, where they're talking about, in Huxley's case, the use of drugs and narcotics to manipulate the mind, and in terms of Orwell, technology like telescreens and stuff like that to control people. How can they do that when that technology is not even, and that understanding is not even known at the time? It's because the cabal deep in the web is operating on a projected timeline. They can see into the timeline that we're experiencing from another reality, so they can see up and down the timeline, and therefore they can know things that are coming before they actually come, and they can write about them. And people say, that was an unbelievably prophetic novel. Oh, he even got the technology right. How did he do that? Because if you go, if you can access this projected timeline, this projected future, from knowledge or the connection to these deep levels of the secret society network, you can predict what the future is coming, even in terms of technology that's not even been invented yet. And this leads me to the next thing, which is that the whole kind of thing that's going on with 2012 and this transformation of consciousness and this new era, this new cycle of human experience. I mean, I think the 2012 thing is being overplayed like crazy, but without question, there is a vibrational change going on, which is going to bring this whole thing down. The first book I ever wrote 20 years ago on anything like these subjects, I actually called Truth Vibrations, because I understood at that point that there was a vibrational change coming that was going to wake people up, that was going to start to break them out of this coma that we've been put in. Mm-hmm. And of course, it would be the more awake people that would be affected first, and then more and more people who were less awake would start to be affected as this vibrational change got stronger. Now, 20 years ago, there was absolutely no sign whatsoever that there was any wake up. And the other thing that I was told about these truth vibrations is that they were going to have the effect of bringing to the surface all that had been hidden. Again, 20 years ago, there's no sign of that. But two decades later, vast numbers of people are waking up in different ways on different levels that weren't anything like woken up even a few years ago, never mind 20. And look at what's happened, Jeff, and your program has been fundamentally part of it. Going way back, look at over the last 20 years, over the last 10 years, over the mm-hmm. last 5 years, what has come to the surface which was before hidden from the vast overwhelming majority of humans? This vibrational change is happening, and it's mm-hmm. gathering, and it's affecting more and more people. And the control system, which can see down our timeline, knew that it was coming. And it is no accident, no coincidence whatsoever, that is at this point, when this awakening, this vibrational change is starting to impact on more and more people, and it is. I mean, I'm seeing people waking up to things that I thought, well, no way in your lifetime you're ever going to wake up to this. They would have laughed at it a few years ago. It's no coincidence that as this is happening, so the control system is throwing everything, including the kitchen sink and the plug, at us in the way that it is. It's trying to keep the lid on the awakening. For this, in this way, and for this reason, we live in a reality which we call visible light, which we can experience as the physical world, the holographic world, as I put it. But in the same space that this world is occupying, so is infinity. Infinity of possibility, infinity of knowledge, infinity of information, the whole thing. Again, we come back to the computer. You can encode the computer to only read certain information, then that information will be the limit of that computer's perception of reality. And so, the more that we expand our minds, open our minds to what I call real consciousness, the quicker we vibrate, the higher levels of reality and the more expansive levels of reality we can access. So suddenly our insight, our inspiration, our creativity, our understanding, our perceptions start to expand. And that's what they're trying to do, is to stop that happening. This is where the dumbing down of children and language is coming from, the dumbing down of education. This is the reason for, the key reason for the infestation of food and drink with chemical cocktails, which destabilize the body computer chemically and electrochemically with all the electromagnetic pollution that we live in, and the microwave stuff and all the cell phones and all the rest of it. It's all to stop us expanding to connect with higher levels of consciousness, which is what? Higher levels of awareness, of perception, where you can see the control system, you can see the way it works, you can see how things are being manipulated. And where you can't, when you're in the limitation, what people call the box. So there's a, if you like, I don't like using the word, but there's a battle going on between or a tussle going on between this vibrational change, which is encouraging and teasing and pressing people to open and expand, and the control system, which is pushing the other way, mm-hmm. through chemical, electromagnetic, and manipulation of the mind and ways,
pharmaceuticals,
pushing the other way to
course,
keep us in limitation.
That's right. The pharmaceutical aspect of that, the use of antidepressants has doubled in the last decade now, utterly part of the formula, opening the mind to more and more control all the time. What's embedded in the microwaves, ELF, Wi-Fi? In England, they ban Wi-Fi from classrooms and schools. They know it's dangerous, not for the reasons we're talking about, but physically it's dangerous. But beyond that, the whole thing of embedding mind control, mind molding, manipulative programming in the power grid is one of the, you've been talking about it for years, but it's one of the most overlooked avenues of control of all. And put all these together, my God, the people really hardly have a chance. The friction on them right now, the pull between what you talk about, rightly so, the vibrational waking, the vibrational awakening of people, and then this incredible effort to keep them under the heel of the boot. Wow, what forces.
Yeah, that's what's going on, and that's why, you know, we're in the situation we are at present of enormous challenge and pressure upon us to behave and see the world in certain ways. But this says something. Again, so often you turn something on its head, you get closer to the truth.
Yeah.
It seems as if the control system is in, well, control, and more so. But I say that's illusory. On the face of it, it is, and for a few more years, it's going to seem as if absolutely all is lost, that there's no way that this is not going to come in, this global fascist dictatorship. And then suddenly, the house of cards is coming down. I've never been more confident about that. But I wouldn't say it's going to happen tomorrow. This control system is going to seem as it is now. My goodness, you quite rightly said earlier in the program, it's getting faster and faster and seems to be getting more and more control, and all these things are going on, and it will seem like that for a few more years yet. But then it's coming down, because in the end, this vibrational change is going to happen. It's not a matter of is it going to happen or isn't going to happen. It's how are we going to interact with it. Are we going to flow with it? Are we going to expand our minds and become the true incredible genius that we are? Or are we going to take the other route of the fork in the road and try to stay in life as we perceive it now, and to decide we're not going to expand our minds, we're going to go where the control system wants us to go. That's our choice, and there will be consequences for both choices, but the change itself is going to take place, because we're moving. It's one of the things I say in the book, and I go into it in some detail. I've talked for years about that there being a time loop. I named one of my books Tales from the Time Loop, where we go through a loop and it comes back to meet itself again. And because we only come and interact with part of the loop, we have the perception of going from past to future. But if you could complete the loop, you think, crikey, I've been here before. But it's not actually a loop as such. It's a vibrational cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying in the book is this vibrational cycle changes as it vibrationally changes the information that we're receiving. And as we... are we going for a break?
We got to take a break, but good place
okay,
to pause.
I thought I heard the music. Yeah, okay, right. I'll continue afterwards then.
Back in a minute. Okay. Hour number two with David Icke tonight. David is up early. Gee, it's after 5 a.m. You sound great.
Yeah, I feel better than I did at 4 a.m., Jeff, I must say. Yeah,
all right.
The sun's up. It's lovely.
Yeah, you're on a roll, and if you want to plug right back in to where you were, go to it.
Yeah, I just think this is important information in terms of understanding
Very
what's
important.
Going on.
Yeah.
What I'm saying in the book is that it's like a time loop, but it's only a loop in the decoded holographic play-out world when we decode information into the physical world that we experience. This loop is really a vibrational cycle. And as the vibrational cycle starts, it triggers information. It triggers the suns to release information in the form of photons. And it's in photon energy that the information, which is the equivalent, the universe equivalent of the wireless internet, it's photon energy. But is flowing through the meridian lines in the acupuncture system of the body, what the Chinese call qi energy. It's photon energy, and the body is reading the ocean in that energy and stuff with it, because what we're living in is a cosmic computer game. In fact, it's a cosmic game, but it's an interactive game. Just as you can go on the internet and receive information, you can also post information and change the internet. And so it's an interactive game that's going on, and for consciousness to experience itself. And so as this vibrational cycle goes on, it doesn't just vibrate in the same way indefinitely. It moves, like I say, through a cycle. And as this vibrational cycle changes, so it elicits different information in the forms of photons. So we experience that as the world changing, because we're now receiving different forms of information, which we then decode, and in the decoded, play out, holographic experienced world, the world appears to be changing. And you see this cycular nature of what we call time. Time's an illusion too, because the vibration is happening in the now. It only appears to be time, a time loop, when we decode it in this reality. But anyway, we see it's referred to in ancient societies all over the world. The Mayans talked about different cycles, and they said that 2012, so it's claimed anyway that 2012 is when a new cycle starts. I say that's a lot more to know about that. But then you've got in the Indian culture, you've got the yugas, the idea of going through different yugas of experience. Some are golden age yugas, some are very dark yugas, because where we come to choose to experience depends on what we want to experience. Do we want to experience a period of tremendous challenge, what we call a dark period and a suppressed period, or do we want to experience a period of great expansion, which is what is referred to as the golden age periods? And we're at the point now, cusp, where very much at the cusp, which is why all these pressures and all these conflicting pressures and energies are flying around at the moment, and why we're living in this world of great challenge, is because the vibrational cycle is changing. These are what I call the truth vibrations, what I called the truth vibrations 20 years ago in that book. And as it's changing, the old cycle is being brought to an end, because its vibrational information basis, construct, foundation is disappearing as the vibrational change happens, and a new construct is manifested through a different form of information that we're getting to encode. Now, some people are tuning in to this new vibration, these truth vibrations, as I call them, and therefore they're starting to access that new information now, and have been for a while, and therefore they're changing the way that they see themselves, they're changing the way they see the world. They can see things they couldn't see before. Their eyes are symbolically opening. In other words, their minds are opening. And there are others, still the vast majority, Jeff, but it is changing, who are still tuned to the old construct, because we're at the cusp. This is the fork in the road.
Got it.
It's a vibrational fork in the road. We still have the choice now, mm-hmm. which are we going to tune into? And people are still stuck in vast numbers, tuning in to the energy, the vibrational information that they've been used to, and instead of breaking out of that into the new. But as this vibrational change gathers and gathers, as it will over the next few years, gather and gather and gather through 2012, 2013 and on, then the old construct information is going to be going out, and there's going to come a tipping point when the new vibration is going to be the dominant one, and the old vibration is going to be lose its power. And we're very, very close. And what's happening is, in the death throes of this old epoch, this old vibrational information construct, then all the stuff, all the hidden stuff that's been going on through this vibrational period, or a age is coming to the surface. It's coming to the surface to be dealt with, to be seen, and to be played out. So these points of change between these vibrational epochs in this symbolic time loop, they're always times of tremendous upheaval. They have to be, because a whole new world is emerging, and for that to happen, the old world has to collapse. And, you know, there's like three levels going on here. You've got the level that the mass of humanity is working on, and that's the information, therefore, understanding limitation imposed by the suppression of the control system. You've then got the control system, which includes the non-human connection. And they, by suppressing humanity of knowledge and awareness and information, are in a position of power over the population, because it's not that they are omnipotent and all-powerful, it's that they're in a bigger box of limitation than the target population, that they've put in a small box of limitation. But beyond, vibrationally, beyond the control system in all its forms, are levels of consciousness and awareness to which the control system are the equivalent of a fly on an elephant's back. And that's the level that is now starting to impose itself. And so what we're seeing is the control system desperately trying to batten down the hatches, to put fingers in the dike, and it's appearing as they do that to be that they're taking more and more and more control. And this will go on for a few years, and that's why it will appear as if they're getting more and more control. Mm-hmm. But what's actually happened is they're throwing their last card, their last effort to hold on to this epoch that they had their power through. It's going, and therefore, if the information construct on which the control system is based is going, then the control system must go. But we're in for some real challenging times, because basically the rat is being cornered, and it's going to be very unpleasant when it seeks to react to that.
Right, the rat is being cornered. I see all around me that at the level you're talking about now is profound. I see, as you do, the superficial level. The idea is to take 10 steps back as soon as you think you've got it figured out. Take another look. What amazes me, David, is how, and I don't do it, but how these people go on these social networking websites and spill their innermost secrets, pictures, in them, you know, just they lay it all out there. What happened to the idea of privacy and intrigue? You go to somebody's site now, and they just, the average user of these things just has no inhibitions about sharing their life. And of course, what are they? They are absolute perfect predatory stock. They're just, did I say that right? They're predator stock is what they are. And there are predators working the internet all the time. There are predators working at the level you're talking about too. But I am really glad to hear that in your view, this, should I even use the word paradigm, this epoch is coming to an end. And the question that a lot of listeners will have, did the Mayans know? Is that where we're going with this thing? Do we see a 2012 connection here, or is it just a one commercial orgy that's going on?
Well, I think Jeff, that once you kind of understand how it works, then how long these cycles tend to be, then you can start to predict long term that at this point there's going to be this change, because the vibration is going to change at that point. And we have this idea that instinctively that the longer time moves as we perceive time, the more enlightened people become. In other words, wherever you are in the so-called modern world, you must by definition be at the cutting edge of human knowledge. But knowledge can go back by suppression as well as forward. And it's very clear that, again, when people talk about the ancient period that often takes the term the Golden Age, where there was great expansion of awareness and it was a very different world and mm-hmm. was paradise, and we interacted, communicated with animals and what have you.
Hold that thought about the Golden Age, David. We'll pick it right up in just a minute or two as we continue. Okay, right back with David, and we're talking, he was mentioning the Golden Age, that storybook land and time when animal and human could lie down in the meadows together and all that. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, during these Golden Age periods where there's a great expansion of awareness and consciousness within this reality, they are light years ahead of where we are in terms of understanding reality, understanding how the universe works, the whole shebang. And then the cycle goes into these periods of limitation and great challenge and suppression, really. And that Golden Age knowledge survives through myth, through legend, sometimes in written form, which is why the control system is always targeting any information that might be found that might tell a different story of history, for instance. They're targeting these things all the time because they want to control the perception of what we call history, because that by doing that they control the perception of the present. It's like Orwell said, he controls the past, controls the present, and he who controls the present controls basically the writing of the past. So this is what they're working on all the time. But the knowledge of the Golden Age, the knowledge of the way the universe works, etc., can pass through these suppressed periods in the cycle in the form of myth, in the form of legend, in the form of things that are left for people to find later. And as we understand that, and as we uncover this information, you can start to see and that the ancients knew what people don't know now. And it's, how did the ancients know that? Because they were primitive. But you know, that's not the way it works. It goes through cycles of expansion and suppression, expansion and suppression. And therefore, just because we appear to be at the cutting edge of human evolution, it doesn't mean we are. In fact, we know we're bloody near. So a lot of these ancient predictions, what I like when I'm researching, Jeff, is when I start to hit common themes. When I start to hit common themes around in different cultures and in different situations, the same thing keeps coming up. Mm-hmm. And this cycular nature of going through epochs, of going through yugas, of going through different periods of experience, and then the change coming at the cusp, which is we're at one now.
Is it now when you did
a really common theme?
Mm-hmm. When you say cusp of an epoch or epoch, what are you talking about? Is it a 2-year, 5-year, 10-year plan? Is it a 6-month plan? People want to know that. They don't understand.
Tell you what happened to me, Jeff. How I got this. I had this extraordinary awakening when the top of my head blew off 20 years ago. Now this year, actually, and I started bumping into a lot of psychics, and you have to be very careful with psychics, because some can really get out there, and some don't get out there at all, but
indeed,
call themselves psychics. You know, a psychic is a very, very, has a very big meaning, and a lot of it is nonsense, but you get someone who can really get out there, because what they're doing is they're able to expand their consciousness so they can tune to higher levels of awareness. That's what they're doing. It's like tuning into another station, another TV station, and accessing the level of awareness that's there.
Right.
But some call themselves psychics, but actually don't get out there. And they, you know, this is why you have to be very careful. But and it was a constant theme that I was being given. They kept saying to me, "I'm being told to tell you this." And I, you know, I'm blinking into the headlights of an oncoming train here. I'm thinking, "What's happening to my life?" I was introducing the sport 10 minutes ago, and now this woman's talking to me about changes in the world. What's going on? But it was a common theme of being told to tell you this, and that there's this vibrational change coming that is going to change everything. It's going to wake people up from their coma. It's going to bring to the surface all that's been hidden. There's going to be fantastic secrets being revealed that people weren't aware of, and we're going into a completely different world. And this was a common theme. It came in again and again and again and again. And that's why, like I say, I called the first book Truth Vibrations after this. And so 20 years ago, it was in the process of coming, because there is, obviously, there is a period where one energetic state of a low vibrational nature is being replaced by an energetic state of a higher vibrational nature. This is what's bringing the change about. This is what's bringing the information construct change about. And if you just kick one in to replace the other, well, it would not just be chaos, it would be carnage. Because the whole... vibrational state of people, minds, bodies, earth, everything would suddenly just change. I mean, it would just be carnage. It would just be unbelievable. You can hardly put words to what it would be like. So it's a kind of a gradual thing where one replaces the other, not so fast that it creates a tremendous, you know, terrible catastrophic situations that would destroy everything and blow, literally blow people's minds and make them go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's done in a way that people are given the opportunity to change with it. It's
mm-hmm.
it's the equivalent of, using a symbology of a river. It's the equivalent of being in a fast-flowing river that's getting faster and faster and faster,
uh-huh.
and we've got the choice to get on the airbed and flow with it, or to stand there
right.
in the river as it's getting faster and faster and faster, saying, "I ain't moving." This is symbolically the choice we're being given here.
Mm-hmm.
Are we gonna try to hold on to the old way, or are we going to open our minds and flow with the change?
Right.
So it's over a period of years, yes, mm-hmm. but we are now entering, I would say, the crucial point where the big change is about to take place.
The new energetic
epoch is going to tip and be the predominant one, and then as the years pass, becoming more and more predominant until the old epoch energy has gone altogether, and that's when the new world will be in place.
Won't go soon enough for me. Hold on, we'll be right back. I have another question, a rather temporal question, about the gap, the chasm between those who get it and want to get it, and those who are just standing there. How we bridge that, or do we just let time and attrition take care of it? Be right back. Okay, back with David Icke. And we will be talking about the oil issue in just a few minutes. But the last thing, David, the chasm has never been bigger. It's enormous between people, our younger people especially, and those of a slightly older age but there's some really smart young people out there. I don't mean to demean all of them, but most of them, not much going on. They have had about 2.5 generations now to really control and mold and manipulate what they're working with. The distance between those who see and want to see and those who could give a damn is enormous. Do we worry about it? Do we try to bridge it? Or do we just let time and, again, attrition and the new age take care of it?
Well, I think, you can put information before people, and what they do with it is then up to them.
But you shouldn't lose sleep over it. You just do your best, and then next, if somebody's not interested. I've met people, and so have you, for years and years, who have lost relationships and friends. They just won't see it. They just won't get it. There's folks, you can only do so much, and what David said is really about all you can do. You can suggest, send them an email, say, take a look at this site. Here's a book. Browse it. Just read the first chapter, David's new book, for example. But that's all you can really do, because if the will and the passion and the drive is not within them to better themselves and understand, capital U, don't waste your time. Just don't.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different aspects even to this subject now that you just brought up. I mean, one thing is, again, we'll keep going back to this. If you can control what the computer reads, you can control what the computer puts on the screen. In other words, in the person's perception. And literally, you know, René Descartes, the French mathematician and philosopher, said, "I think, therefore I am," in defining who we are. I would say that at the body computer level, it's actually "I compute, therefore I am." And if people are in a vibrational mental state where they are computing reality, in other words, reading information in a certain way at a certain level, then you could put anything in front of them that is outside of that, and they will literally not compute it. This is, I don't understand this. I don't know what you're saying. It's crazy. They can't compute it, literally, so they can't manifest it in their perception. And what we need to do is to free ourselves from the limitation of the firewalled reality that most people live in, which uh-huh. means that they're only reading information at a certain level, and right. put information before them outside of that. They literally cannot read it, and so all you can do is put information out there, and mm-hmm. some will see it and some will not.
That really is the end of our. That's really the end of our responsibility. We can't try to save so-called expressions pop up like save the world, change the map. Can't do it. All you can do is what you can do.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, about holding the bigger picture, because what we're looking at is not being able to compute something within this reality, within this visible light spectrum and what have you. What we are is consciousness having an experience in this reality. And I've read extensively about near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences and stuff like that. And the common themes are extraordinary, where they talk about how they go from being in a sense of great limitation to one in which they are simultaneously experiencing multi realities at the same time. I've got a quote here which I use in my talks in my book from a near-death experiencer. He said this: "Everything from the beginning, my birth, my ancestors, my children, my wife, everything comes together simultaneously. I saw everything about me and about everyone who was around me. I saw everything they were thinking now, what they thought then, what was happening before, what was happening now. Mm. There is no time, there is no sequence of events, no such thing as limitation, of distance, of period, of time, of place. I could be anywhere I wanted to be simultaneously. That's who we are. And when we experience through the body computer, not least because of this systematic suppression mm-hmm. and manipulation, mm-hmm. the lens that we experience this reality through becomes so limited, so cloudy, that we focus our sense of self and perception on the five senses alone.
Right. We don't even use the lens.
We live a life of tremendous limitation, and and people do in vast numbers laugh at the very idea that they are who they really are, which is that kind of consciousness I've just experienced. So mm-hmm. it's this whole thing that's going on now is about what's happening in this reality. It's not who we are. It's what we're experiencing.
They do laugh. You're right. Here's another issue. People, there's a lot of research going on. Well, not a lot, but there's some important research going on about the human heart being actually the true brain of the body. I don't mean the emotional heart. I mean the heart. It's a sensing. It's like a tuning fork to the resonances around you. It is timeless. It is not impeded by any known factor. And yet people live in their computer brains thinking that that's the whole truth. And it's not. The computer brain is the source of most of the confusion and most of the problems, because as young children, we're taught not to rely on that instinct, that knowledge of a bigger universe that we're born with. It's weeded right out of us, and we're taught to live in our crummy little hard drive brains, which are getting crummier all the time in terms of much of the masses.
That's absolutely right. That is very, very crucial to understand. And it's not only that we live in our brains, we live in the left side of the brain, not even in the expansive side, the simultaneous side of the brain, the right brain, which is basically decoding things simultaneously. We live in the left side of the brain, which turns information into a sequence, and the speed of the sequence that it creates dictates how we perceive, quote, time passing. Is time passing fast? In other words, is the sequence moving quickly, or is it going slowly. This is a sequence moving slowly that the left brain is constructing from the information in the in what I call the cosmic wireless internet universe. So we're living in a total illusory world created by the left brain, and that's why all the academia subjects are all left brain. Passing exams is putting information in the left brain and then regurgitating it out onto an exam paper. And the right brain people, the really creative people, the people that have a unique spin on life, that see things as connected and not as apart, which is what fundamentally, by its very nature, the left brain does. It puts everything into a sequence, into a structure, and therefore the illusion of everything apart from everyone, everything else. That is the prison. That is what the control system, its main aim is, to put us in the prison of the left brain. But then you go beyond even the understanding of the right brain into the heart, and that is the connection. That is the connection to the higher levels, really higher levels of consciousness. And that's where we get intuition from, knowing. Knowing is beyond thought. Thought is low-level mental activity. Knowing, heart knowing, intuitive knowing. That's what we really are, consciousness.
You got it. Absolutely correct, David Icke, and his new book, please get it. It's all in there. Human race, get off your knees, the lion sleeps no more. Just go to davidicke.com. It's right there. Be back in a minute. Okay, let's get right back to our final segment with David already. Okay, oil, we've got to talk about the oil blowout in the Gulf. There are lots of things swirling, and no pun intended. But what really I think is rather obvious is that this is not going to go away anytime soon or with any ease at all. It's going to be with us for quite some time. And it could turn into be a planetary-wide disaster if this gouge into the Earth's inner arterial system continues to spew at the volume and the pressure it is. It's huge. David, what do you think about the whole thing?
I wrote an article about it actually this week, which always of course focuses the mind on looking at all these different aspects to it as you're pulling
right.
it together, and it is utterly catastrophic in environmental terms. But you know, when you look at the background to it, the run up to it, I don't buy incompetence. I buy at the core cold calculation. And the selling of shares and the fact that Halliburton was involved, I mean, red flags go on. Hallie Red Flag Burton, they ought
right.
to call it.
Yep.
And then you've got the consequences. And then you look at the way, again, very clearly, when you see the people involved speaking on the ground, BP couldn't give a damn about cleaning it up or stopping it. It's going through the motions. So first of all, you have the situation arise and the oil starts to flood out, and then you have this situation where the people who've done it really are not really trying, except going through the motions to appear to be trying. I mean, you see these interviews on the internet with some of the people that have been involved in the cleanup, and they're saying, you know, well, maybe 2 hours a day, and again, a common theme is, oh, when someone comes in who's kind of important, or there's cameras, or it's the president, then mm-hmm. everyone's alerted, and everyone's on the beaches, and cleaning up, and everyone's running around. As soon as the helicopter leaves, it all stops.
Right.
I mean, why would you not do whatever you could to react to this? The reason is they want the catastrophe, they want the chaos. For a number of reasons. There's one level, yes, of course, they're going to try to use this to push the global warming tax agenda because the climate gate and all the other stuff has really put a
right.
hole in
they
in,
capitalize in, on every tragedy, always.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, the climate gate thing has really, been a big problem for the credibility
uh-huh.
of this global warming lie.
Huge.
And so they'll use this, but it's bigger than that. They want to create as much chaos as possible, and interestingly, it connects into what we've been talking about tonight, Jeff, because when you create chaos and you create fear, you are fundamentally affecting the vibrational state of the population. I mean, okay, expand your mind to connect with higher levels of consciousness when oil's pouring onto the beach and creating environmental catastrophe, when you've lost your whole way of life and what have you, and then with the potential consequences of the acid rain. There's already oil rain falling in the Gulf area.
Oh, yeah.
and all these other possibilities of massive environmental damage, fundamental damage, a long, long way inland. You're looking at a situation of potential catastrophe for far more people than those that just live along the Gulf, and then you've got the Gulf Stream out into Europe and all the rest of it. And so it's about it's just one part of creating maximum chaos, including wars and economic chaos, anything that can create mayhem within the human energy field out
right.
of fear and
right.
worry and what's
right.
going on and all the rest of it.
And they're feeding
and
off of this.
A lot more of these things, lot more of these different areas of our lives, things that are designed to create fear,
watch
terror,
out for Iran.
Worry and all the rest of it.
Three aircraft carriers now off of Iran. That may be on tap next. They're going to pile on so much grief and anguish, and they feed off of it. These are evil, dark parasites who are feeding off the soul energy of this species of ours. They're just not human by the normal yardstick.
Yeah, exactly, and of course, because they're in themselves in a low vibrational state by the very nature of their mental and emotional state, what passes for emotional state,
yeah.
they can only access energy and absorb energy within their vibrational frequency. So to do that, they have to bring humanity down
Everybody
into their
down.
Vibrational frequency through low vibrational emotion, fear, and all the rest of it, and all the aspects of fear and terror, so that they humans are actually producing the energy they feed off within the frequency they can absorb. And so this is another reason why they want to hold humanity in a low vibrational state.
And that goes right along with the pornography industry, the dumbing down of our educational system, the whole thing, diversion, reactive. It's all tied together.
Yeah, the whole kind of foundation of everything is to hold humanity in a low vibrational state, and the best way of doing that is to trigger fear in them, because that is a low vibrational state by definition.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefits of doing that for the control system and those behind the control system are endless in terms of keeping people dumbed down. If you're in a low vibrational state, you're not expanding your consciousness, so you've got limited awareness, so you're not a problem to the control system, because they won't even see that there's a control system. You've got the energy being generated on a frequency that you can absorb.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many fundamental benefits. In fact, without humanity being in a low vibrational state emotionally, the control system would fall. It couldn't exist. And this is what is happening with the truth vibrations. It's teasing people open who are tuning to them, and pulling us out of this state of fear. Because if we go through the next few years believing that we are our experience, in other words, we are the five senses is who we are, it is going to be a nightmare period. But so the way to get through it and to come out the other side in this new world that's coming is to be in this world physically, yes, and we experience through the five senses, but our point of observation is consciousness beyond this world. We are in this world physically, but not of this world in terms of our point of observation. If we can say, David Icke is my experience, he's not who I am. I am consciousness having that experience, it'll be much easier to get through, because we will be interacting with this change and this chaos in a very, very different way to those that are in the world and of it in terms of their perception of self.
Wow. All true. So if you folks are living in the Gulf right now, let me tell you something the government will not tell you, and it was in Obama's Oval Office speech. They don't care about you, all right? And you people who are selling out to BP and proud to be part of the cleanup crew, you're being sacrificed. Every single person who cleaned up the Exxon Valdez disaster is dead now. Dead. Their average life, I believe, was 51 years of age. They're gone. That's it. You people are being set up. You're being paid. you are expendable. Let me urge all of you to get an ozone air purifier for your homes at least, so the air inside of your home can be somewhat cleaner than the filth and the poison that you're being forced to breathe. David, do you know over here there is no air monitoring going on in the media? No results whatsoever?
Yeah, that is extraordinary from the perception of a sane country, administration.
Yep.
But of course, completely explainable because the readings they would get would be horrific, and so they don't.
Well, they had one set of reading, David. I don't know if you heard this or not, but for you listening, forgive me again. These so-called safe levels of benzene, 0 to 4 parts per billion. The levels that were found in the only story I was able to secure, a television station in Louisiana, over 3,400 parts per billion. And then the air monitoring stopped. No more results. That was it. 3,400 parts per billion benzene.
This is such an important point for people in general, but in especially people in uniform to understand. Is that the government couldn't care less about you. You're totally expendable. What they're doing in the Gulf is just a much, much bigger version of what they did to the rescuers at 9/11 when they knew what those people were breathing in. And look at the consequences for them. The Valdez, you rightly mentioned. And nothing sums up for me more profoundly how much they don't care is that workers on the cleanup, workers going out in boats into that oil, were told they couldn't wear respirators on the excuse that it would cause alarm. And you know, I said in my article over the weekend exactly what you just said. You know, it's not nice to say it, but the die is already cast for a large number of people as a result of what has happened and how they've gone out into this stuff, into this unbelievable pollution. Without any protection, and even with protection, it's only kind of limited given the environment they're going into.
Right, all true. And for all of you, just remember Obama's Oval Office speech when he referred to you along the Gulf as our neighbors, not as Americans, not as our countrymen, not as our fellow human, but our neighbors. All right, you get the picture? I think you do. Now. David's new book, again, we just have a minute left. Human race, get off your knees. The lion sleeps no more. Nearly 700 knockout pages, 355,000 words, over 325 illustrations. It is an instant classic. Order it. Go to davidicke.com. David's article, he talked about briefly the oil issue. He wrote a short essay about that. Is up in the oil featured story section at rents.com. It's called "And the Sea Shall Turn to Blood." Read it. David, thanks, my friend, for getting up. It's been a great conversation, as always, and I look forward to seeing you when you're over here next, hopefully.
Yeah, okay, Jeff. Yeah, I'm in San Francisco and New York in October, actually, talking.
All right, I'm going to look, see what we can set up for you. All right, talk to you soon.
Cheers, Jeff. Bye.
Thanks, mate. Bye. David Icke. Amazing conversation.